Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing you excellent entertainment from the king of DC media. Here's the Inside Acting Radio Show.
Everybody, welcome to this Halloween special edition of the Inside Acting Radio Show. I'm your gracious host, William Powell, a.k.a. the King of DC Media. Tonight's guest is Chad Eric Smith, who plays Erebus, a 251-year-old vampire who seeks psychiatric treatment for a phobia that impacts his very way of life. But before we get to Chad, let's hear a word from our sponsor. All right, I think we might have had a little bit of a glitch there. But if you would like to advertise on the show, you can contact me at William400@yahoo.com or on Facebook at /William.T.Powell. So I see Chad's on the line, so let me bring him on in. Good evening.
Hey, good evening. How are you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So I'm going to dive right in. So, man, what's been the fan reaction of Dark Therapy? I know it's had over 30,000 views on Facebook.
Yeah, that's I'm very pleased. We uploaded it to Facebook just a few days ago, and just in the past 48 hours, it's starting to go viral just in time for Halloween. But prior to having it online, we had it in various film festivals across the country. And it's been received very well. It gets a lot of hearty laughter. People like the cleverness of it and the quirkiness of it. And so I'm very, very happy that people have taken a liking to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I see local broadcaster Allison Seymour even had something to say about it. I think she tweeted on it. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. I've been very active in social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, just trying to spread the word about my film. And I reached out to her via Twitter, and she liked it. She said that it was very funny, and she tweeted it out. And so that was... That's always cool when you can get someone who is, a celebrity to endorse it in a way and to have their fans check it out as well. So that was very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So did you notice a noticeable uptick in views after that?
Yeah. But I would say that mainly. The uptick in views has been just from folks on Facebook sharing it. I like to say thank you to my friends and family. They've been sharing it, especially this particular week leading up to the holiday Halloween weekend. And it's kind of like almost like a grassroots thing where my close friends and family have been sharing it. And just based off of the content alone of it being funny and well produced, it's been well received and continues to get shared even more. So I'm really happy about it.
Yeah, yeah. So, man, you got to tell me a little bit more about Erebus. I know he's based on a Greek myth. That's the name of the character you played. Tell me a little bit more about that, how you came up with the name and the character.
Yeah, so back in, 2013, I met a local Washington, D.C. actress and producer. Her name is Devin Nikki Thomas. I met her at a table read for a script by a filmmaker, Harold Jackson III. And right away, we got along, and I thought she was really cool, and I thought she was very pretty, and I thought she had a really great sense of humor. And I was like, oh, man. You know, so I did what everybody would do, which is became Facebook friends. And then from there, we started chatting, and we were talking about how we wanted to collaborate. And so I said, well, you know, she had a production company called Unitivity Productions, and I had this, you know, desire to write and create a character that, as an actor, I don't really come across very often, you know, which is like a character that is very quirky and would involve lots of makeup. So the idea was to create a cinematic-looking comedic skit, but with an improvisational flair, something similar to Comedy Central's Key and Peele, which I'm a big fan of. And around that time, I had watched the movie Dark Shadows, directed by Tim Burton and starring Johnny Depp, who I'm also a big fan of.
Yeah.
And so that gave me the kind of the inspiration of going the vampire route, where I get to, you know, dress up in makeup and all these things. And I'm a big fan of humor that is rooted in irony. So it just kind of popped in my head, the idea of a vampire with an irrational fear of blood. And I told Devin about it, and she thought it was cool. And so I wrote up the first draft. I sent it to her. And she added to it and kind of heightened the horror element of it. And then in March of 2014, we filmed it in one day. You had mentioned Erebus. I was trying to make it as clever as I could, and I figured, okay, it's a black vampire. So what's the name that could kind of emphasize his blackness, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just simply looked up the Greek word for darkness, you know? And and Erebus is what came up. And I knew that, you know, Greek mythology had really cool names. So I just said, what's the Greek word for darkness, since he's a black guy? And it turns out Erebus just sounded good, and so I went with that. And I thought it was cool to have a name that was kind of opposite of how his actual demeanor is. Even though he has a name that means darkness, he's pretty lighthearted and very, very much non-threatening.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks kind of like a pimp, man. He's just an interesting character. Yeah, so how did you transform into a vampire with all that makeup, man? That's impressive makeup.
Yeah, so I worked in a movie called The Suffering, and it's by an L.A.-based filmmaker named Rob Hamilton. And if the listeners go to thesufferingfilm.com, they can check out the trailer. But that was a really cool experience to be on that movie. And when I was on that set, I met these very talented, nice guys who were the makeup artists named Carl Randolph and Bob Yoho. And they were just really cool. I mean, they made me look, you know, nice and grimy, and they painted my teeth, made them all dirty and everything. And so I really enjoyed working with them on that particular movie. And so when I started writing Dark Therapy, they were the first two guys who came to mind, because I just knew that they were high quality. So I sent the script to them, and they loved it. They responded saying they thought it was very funny, and said that they could help me bring my character to life. But the script that I wrote was very specific about how I wanted the character to look. It said that he had long yellow nails, he had long black hair, he had kind of like white eyes and fangs, and his skin was kind of with a gray tinge. And so the script describes how he looked, and but I kind of let Carl Randolph, who, by the way, just won Best Makeup at the Washington, D.C. Indie Capital Awards for Dark Therapy. And I basically told him, hey, man, this is what I want. You read the script. I just want myself to look, you know, creepy. And he did a good job of that, you know. And so that was, I was in the makeup chair for a little over an hour. A lot of that time was trying to get the nails to stick on right. That took a lot of time to get the nails right. There's a lot of detail on the nails as well. And probably the hardest part was trying to eat with long nails. I don't know how ladies do it, but that was the tough part. And then the fangs were custom made for my teeth. They were created by Bob Yoho, and I went in a few weeks prior to shooting, and he made a cast of my teeth, like one would do for orthodontist work, for like braces. And I got to choose the different type of fangs that I wanted, whether I wanted them to be long or short, and we talked about it. It was a very, you know, thoughtful process. And when I told Bob how I wanted it, he went ahead and made the cast, made the molding, and he painted them to match the same color of my real teeth. So, you know, finding just the right yellow. And so that really helped to bring a lot of realism to it, because it wasn't like I was wearing fangs that, you know, that you would buy at CVS.
Yeah. So I know you won at the Indie Capital Award, but what other awards did the film win?
Yeah, so after we premiered the film as part of a series of short films at the now-closed West End Cinema in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
The 2014 Real Independent Film Extravaganza. And so that was a thrill to see a film. I mean, I had gone to, you know, premieres and screenings of films that I was in as an actor, but this was my directorial debut. So it was very cool to experience a movie with an audience where not only I was the actor on screen, but I was the person who had the vision with regards to the directorship. So that was pretty neat. About a month later, we were nominated by the Television, Internet, and Video Association of D.C., or TIVA D.C., and we were awarded the Bronze Peer Award in the Independent Short category for Dark Therapy. And they awarded me the Gold Peer Award in the Acting on Camera Fiction Male category. And that was something else, to be at the National Press Club and to receive a very nice-looking award. It was the first award that I received for film acting. And so how special is that? You know, my first my first, you know, trophy or an award for film acting, to be a character that I invented and wrote and brought to life. I had, you know, won a couple of awards for theater work, but this was the first time for film acting. So I was very pleased by that.
Yeah, and I think it kind of speaks to the importance of actors writing their own material. You know, I mean, that's the thing. So you have anything else that you're writing?
Yeah, I'm always kind of thinking of things, ideas, and you know, there's a big difference between thinking of ideas and putting it to paper. So I have some unfinished things that I'm writing that I just waiting to get the inspiration to kind of move forward on, but nothing that I want to talk about just yet. Just some. But some more quirky ideas of comedy, and I also want to do some. I always wanted to do a sci-fi film, so I have like a time travel idea that I'm working on. But you know, you know, black people can't go too far back in time because it gets dangerous. You know, so but something that would be kind of clever and something that would be. Unique, but that's the hard part.
Oh man, don't tell me you're not going to remake Blackwell, are you?
No. Well, I mean, I guess Dark Therapy was the closest thing to that. I'm also a big Eddie Murphy fan, and a lot of people were saying that they. I heard some people say it reminded them of like Vampire in Brooklyn mixed with like Dexter mixed with Monk, you know. And I thought those were very funny examples of something to compare it to. But speaking of Dark Therapy, I certainly do want to bring the character back. I think it's a very fun character to play. It's been very well received, and I have a lot of different ideas for little short skits or short films, or even a longer feature length idea, but. Just a matter of time and money.
Yeah. I mean, this is a vampire with a taste for mambo sauce. So, I mean, come on now. You got to bring it back.
Yeah, mambo sauce. You know, the thing about mambo sauce, so I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. And it was very important to me to have humor that was very specific to the region where I grew up. And I remember seeing, you know, I remember talking to someone about the mumble sauce bit being a part of it, and they said, you know, a lot of people don't know what mumble sauce is outside the DMV, you know, outside of D.C., Maryland, Virginia. And I said, yeah, but I don't care. I mean, they're gonna find out. They're gonna learn today. You know, they're gonna know what it is after they watch this film. And I remember watching an interview with John Singleton, who did Boys in the Hood. And he was talking about how when he made that movie, he wasn't trying to cater to a broad general audience. He was just trying to tell a very specific story about a specific community. And by doing so, there was something very special about that specificity, and that it ended up transcending that particular audience and becoming kind of a cult classic. And so, I mean, that's a long way to say that that particular interview gave me the confidence to make a joke that might have been very, very regional, but I think for that reason, it becomes more effective. And when I went to, actually earlier this year, I flew to Los Angeles, and I screened Dark Therapy at the famous Chinese theater on the historic Hollywood Walk of Fame. And yeah, that was probably my biggest highlight of the year. It was my first time in LA, and to be able to screen my directorial debut at the famous Chinese theater in Hollywood, I mean, it was just surreal. But, you know, I was on Instagram as I am often, and I follow Jamie Foxx. I'm a big Jamie Foxx fan, and he's one of the reasons why I play piano. He's one of the reasons why I try to kind of balance an acting career of being both dramatic and comedic. And he was advertising a film festival called the Indie Night Film Festival, which was a weekly festival by his friend Dave Brown. Dave Brown is a friend of his, and he's also kind of a business partner with Jamie Foxx, who was was helpful during his Jamie's Oscar campaign when he was winning for Ray. Anyway, I saw the advertisement for it on Instagram, and I just sent Dark Therapy link to the I submitted it via email, and they responded to me very quickly and told me that they were interested and wanted me to show my film. And I said, yeah, I was down. So I burned the DVDs and I mailed it off to Dave Brown, the founder of the film festival. And he text messaged me, let me know he got it. And they said, we want to screen it this coming weekend, back in January. And so I bought my ticket and I flew out there. I was only there for one day. I flew in and flew out. But back to the Mumble Sauce bit after the film, which got a lot of laughter. A lot of folks came up to me to compliment. But there was people who were from Washington, D.C., who specifically wanted to point out how happy they were to see a reference to a sauce that they can't even get in L.A. So they were really proud. They were like, hey, man, that Mumble Sauce bit, I know where that stuff is good. That was hilarious. So that's so good that it connected with the D.C. natives on the West Coast.
Nice. So, Chad, you're a man of many talents. I know you you do music as well. At the top of the show, we had your song Smooth Jam Klexos, and then you had Ethereal. And I know you also did a score. Tell me about that. You did a score for one of your movies?
Yeah. So I think I hear it in the background now, Ethereal. So I created Ethereal at home on my keyboard. I have this old Casio keyboard that I've had since I was a senior in high school or kind of going into college. And one day I just made this music that I think was kind of sad and kind of gloomy and intense. And I played the piano, synthesized sound of piano, and added cello and violin. And after I made it, I said, wow, this sounds like it could be a score, something that could really add some poignancy or something, or add some sort of emotion to a screenplay.
Yeah.
But since I didn't have any experience as a film composer, I didn't really know how to go about scoring a film or at least finding someone who would allow me to have that responsibility. So I said, what could I do to use this particular score for a movie? What can I do? And then I just thought of this idea of, why don't I just make this a score of something that doesn't exist yet? And I reached out to a friend of mine, Yolanda K. Leah, who is D.C. based filmmaker. She's a writer, director, editor, producer. And I sent her the music and I said, hey, Yolanda, I have an idea. I want to score a movie, but I don't have a movie to score yet. Listen to this music and have this music inform a screenplay. Have this music inspire a script. So usually, a score comes after the movie has been created. A movie's created, it's filmed, you go post-production, you try to find the music that fits. My idea was the music preceded not only preceded the story, but inspired the story. And so I sent her the music, and like 24 hours later, she sent back a script. And the script, I opened up the PDF, and it said, Ethereal, an original screenplay by Yolanda K. Leah, inspired by the music of Chad Eric Smith. That first page of the cover of the script was good enough. I was like, oh man, that sounds good. But then I read the next couple pages, and it was it had no dialogue. It was just images, and it became very clear to me that not only was she inspired by the music, but she was inspired by some of the, you know, well, specifically the very tragic story of Tamir Rice, the young black kid who was shot by the police with no hesitation because he was playing with a toy gun in a park. And her script originally had kind of mimicked the reality of that particular story and had a bad ending. But I suggested to her that we have an ending that had more hope and showed an ideal situation where that doesn't happen. And so she rewrote the script with a better ending, and we named it See the Boy. It's kind of like the antithesis to Ralph Ellison's An Invisible Man, the idea that, you know, if you just take a moment to see the humanity in a child, even if their skin is a little darker, then maybe you'd value their life a bit more. And it kind of went with the whole idea of Black Lives Matter. So long story short, Ethereal ended up becoming a score to a 3-minute short film that was, I think, very topical, very timely with regards to the Black Lives Matter movement. And for those reasons, I'm very pleased by that collaboration.
Absolutely. So, Chad, I know that you played in another horror film, The Suffering. So tell me a little bit more about that. Where can we see that one?
Yeah, that one, I still want to see it. I haven't seen that one yet. It's been submitted to various film festivals and still waiting to hear back from those festivals regarding official selection. But my mom and dad actually saw it. They went to a Florida premiere a few months ago, and they said they liked it, and they told me that I did a good job. So I tend to try to believe them when they see those type of things. So that was a good thing. Yeah, that was cool for them to, you know, be able to go to a premiere of a movie that I'm in. I mean, that was another highlight of my year. Even though I couldn't be there to join them, that was really neat. But The Suffering is, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but it has a lot of mystery. Now, when I read the script, it kind of reminded me of, like, the feel of, like, Shutter Island. I think that was a Martin Scorsese film, or?
Yeah, it is.
So it kind of reminded me of that kind of vibe. You know, it's suspenseful and, you know, has a lot of, you know, you not really knowing what is going on as far as the true reality. My character was a very mysterious figure. In fact, in the script, he was described as a mysterious drifter. And he has, like, shackles on his ankles because he is a fugitive, and he carries a knife, and he lives in the woods, and he meets the protagonist, and as a result, the protagonist learns about his predicament, and it kind of shifts the story forward in a certain way. I know that was very vague, but I do like playing supporting roles often because I think that supporting characters, it gives you a lot of room to be very creative and free in your performance as an actor. But just from a literary perspective, supporting characters, they really change or add to the character arc of the main character in a way that couldn't happen without their existence, without their presence. So just from a story perspective, supporting characters are very important. So, yeah, The Suffering. If you go to thesufferingfilm.com, you can check out the trailer. You can see, you can hear my voice, a voiceover of my character, as well as a quick snapshot of my character as well. But that was probably my most physically draining, physically draining role. Because, you know, I'm not big enough as an actor, as a, you know, star-wise, to have a stunt double. So I had to do all my own stunts, and, you know, I'm not the most athletic guy. So it was a lot of running and a lot of acting like I wasn't tired in between shots. That's probably the most acting I did, was in between takes, when I was trying to act like I didn't, like I wasn't out of breath.
Oh, wow. You always got to be on. Always got to be on.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So what's going on with Fright Night Theater?
Fright Night Theater. You know, to be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure of all the details of that particular festival. I just know that we were selected, and I'm not even sure when it screens. Devin Nikki Thomas, who's the executive producer, she submitted Dark Therapy to various festivals, and that was one of them. And so I'm just happy that it's being seen by so many people. And now, not only in festivals, but now on Facebook. But yeah, I don't know all the details of that particular festival.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I got to ask you, man, what's some of your horror movie actors that have inspired you?
You know, funny enough, ironically, I'm not a really big horror genre fan. I've never really been. I don't really go to the movies to watch horror films, and if I do go, it's probably because, you know, some lady friend wanted me to join them, and whenever a scary part happens, I might accidentally close my eyes at that particular part when the you know, things get real. But no, I've been more of a suspense drama, political thriller type of guy. And but some of my favorite actors, though, who have often played characters like that, are Johnny Depp. You know, he's often been in films where he's played kind of quirky, dark characters, which involve lots of makeup. I'm a fan of actor Gary Oldman, and he played Dracula. And I really enjoyed his performance as Dracula, but he's been in so many other movies, from The Fifth Element to the Batman, the new Christopher Nolan Batman movies as Jim Gordon, and Sirius Black in the Harry Potter films. So he's another example of an actor who is, you know, considered a character actor, and that's kind of what I'm trying to mold my career in that way, where I can kind of play anything and really get lost in the role, as far as not only in appearance but in nuance and how the character carries himself. I'm also a huge fan of Jeffrey Wright, and he's actually from Washington, D.C. as well, and he hasn't played that many dark characters, but he's a chameleon type actor as well. So I guess I'm not really a big horror genre guy, but I do like actors who kind of are attracted to those type of dark roles.
All right. Okay, Chad, okay, we're coming near the end of the show, so tell me where fans can see Dark Therapy.
Well, if you go to Facebook and type in Dark Therapy, it'll pop up as a fan page, and you can click that, like the page. That way you can stay connected to all upcoming news. And, you know, might have some more. You may see the return of Erebus in the near future. And the film is actually embedded into the fan page, so they can watch it there. And please share it. We're trying to, especially this particular week, kind of trying to get everyone to see it, and that's a good place to see that. Again, go to thesufferingfilm.com, which is, again, a movie I worked on that's directed by Rob Hamilton. And I'll be on the lookout by an original series by award-winning director and Emmy-nominated producer Harold Jackson III. It's called Counselor. And that's the most recent film project I worked on this past summer. And it's a two-character drama starring myself and actor Curtis Cook from the popular show Netflix show House of Cards. And it's just me and him, two guys in one room, the entire series. So that's a pretty dramatic performance, and I look forward to folks seeing that. We actually screened a preview of it at this year's Real Independent Film Extravaganza.
Nice. That's great. Well, Chad, man, it's been great having you on the show, man. Just break legs and all you do.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate this. It was a good time to talk about this stuff, and I appreciate all the support.
Absolutely. Okay, man, have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, bye-bye. And let me leave you with this quote by Jennifer Lawrence. Even as far back as when I started acting at 14, I know I've never considered failure. Night.